morning. Well, if you're just joining us, we're currently working our way through the book of Exodus in our Sunday morning series. We have a few more messages in Exodus, and then we'll be moving to the New Testament book of Ephesians. So the title for today's message is Bread from Heaven, and we're going to cover the entire chapter. Exodus 16 has I think it had exactly 1,003 words in it or something, so we're going to read it all, but we'll get going here. Thank you for everyone who prayed this week. It's very helpful when you pray for those speaking. Let's open up our time here. Father, thank you for this time to come and look at your word. We thank you that you are an awesome God and you reign. And we're thankful that you came down and offered your son as a way of sacrifice for our sins. And we just pray your blessing on this time as we look in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. As I shared last time, the book of Exodus is my personal favorite Old Testament book. I like it because it's filled with wonderful word pictures. And today's chapter, in my opinion, is one of the most important chapters in the Old Testament to aid us in development of a personal Bible study plan. It comes with a wonderful spiritual and practical word pictures and a visual aid of the true bread from heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, the bread of life, who was sent to give and sustain life in the people of God. Exodus 16 has been one of the most influential chapters in the Bible that has shaped my personal daily Bible study habits. I'm going to get in trouble for this story, but I'm going to share it anyway. I was born again in the fall of 1988. About a year later, there was a beautiful single Christian woman I was interested in dating. But she would not go out with me because I was a newer believer and she had seen many young men fail to grow in the Lord. So for Christmas 1989, she gave me a gift, a Matthew Henry Bible commentary. It was while reading the book of Exodus and the commentary notes on Exodus 16, the account of the manna in the wilderness, that I discovered a personal plan for daily Bible reading and study. So today, as an outline, we're going to first go through the chapter and look at it from Israel's perspective. Then look at it from the practical application for us today, and include parts of John 6, where Jesus reveals to us that he is the true bread of life who has come down from heaven to give his life for us and our need to daily feed upon the living bread. There we go. Got mixed up on my slides. So what's the big idea for today? And that is, in the wilderness, the Lord graciously provides his redeemed people manna, bread from heaven, to sustain them during their journey to the promised land. When we last left off, the nation of Israel had passed through the Red Sea and went 3 days into the wilderness and came upon the bitter water at Marah. After the people grumbled, the Lord revealed to Moses a tree to throw into the bitter water, and it was made sweet. A beautiful word picture of how the bitter things of life can be made sweet when we view them through the cross of Christ and the Lord's working in our lives. After this, the Lord led them to Elim, an oasis in the desert wilderness with natural springs of water and palm trees for a time of refreshment, rest, and relaxation before they continued on their journey to the promised land. The Lord provided each tribe with its own natural spring. So we're going to put up here two maps. One is a traditional view, and a little later we'll show one that Lee had from some recent discoveries. So this brings us to our passage today in Exodus 16, and I'm going to be reading from the ESV. We've been in verse 1. They set out from Elim, and all the congregation of the people of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. On the 15th day of the second month, after they had departed from the land of Egypt, and the whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." So the Lord led the nation of Israel from Elim on their way to Mount Sinai through the wilderness of Sin. This is 30 days after the Passover. So from their departure from Egypt in Exodus chapter 12, verse 37, until their arrival at the base of Mount Sinai in Exodus chapter 19 is about a 90-day period. And once again, they begin to grumble at Moses and Aaron, saying they would have preferred to die in Egypt as slaves rather than the Lord lead them into the wilderness and let them die as of starvation. How often do I struggle with the thought that when things don't seem to be going the way that I think they should be going, I accuse God of doing wrong? That's what Israel is doing here. They're accusing the Lord of letting their families die of starvation in the wilderness. Instead of looking to Him by faith, knowing that He is in control, and He has their and our best interest in mind. But they and I tend to look at our circumstances and not to the Lord. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, "We destroy arguments and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ." When difficulty arises in life and things don't make sense, I need to look to Christ for comfort and for direction. Then the Lord, verses 4 through 8, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily.' So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, 'At evening, you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning, you shall see the glory of the Lord, because He has heard your grumbling against the Lord. For what are we that you grumble against us?' And Moses said, 'When the Lord gives you in the evening meat to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, because the Lord has heard your grumbling, that you grumble against Him, what are we? Your grumbling is not against us, but against the Lord.' The Lord is sending a test to His people to see if they will trust and obey Him for their daily provision, or lean on their own understanding. The Lord, Yahweh, the one who revealed His power to them through the 10 plagues, the Red Sea, the bitter water made sweet, the visible presence of the pillar of cloud by day and pillar of fire by night, is again going to graciously reveal His power and glory to them by providing them with quail in the evening and bread to the full in the morning. The test is, will they walk in the way of the one who has done all these multiple miracles in their presence in the last few months? They are to go and gather a day's portion of manna every day, But on the sixth day, they're to gather a double portion of the manna, the bread from heaven. Moses reminds them and us that when we grumble against God's appointed leaders, we're grumbling against God, which could include godly church leaders or our leadership at work, or children grumbling against their parents. The Lord hears our grumbling. Verses 9 through 12. Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling." As soon as Moses spoke to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God." Aaron gathers the people and says, "The Lord has heard their grumbling and will graciously provide quail for meat at twilight, and bread to the full in the morning." And as Aaron is speaking, the glory of the Lord appears in the pillar of the cloud. Perhaps there were flashes of lightning in the pillar of cloud to help them realize and see that yet another miracle is coming very soon. It says, "And when their bellies were full, they will know that Yahweh is the Lord, their God, who brought them out of Egypt. And he graciously provides them with meat to eat and bread to the full." Verses 13 through 21. "In the evening, quail came up and covered the camp, and in the morning, dew lay around the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine, flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. When the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, 'It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather of it, each one of you, as much as he can eat. You shall take an omer according to the number of persons that each of you has in his tent.' And the people of Israel did so. They gathered, some more, some less. But when they measured it with an omer, whoever gathered much had nothing left over. Whoever gathered little had no lack. Each of them gathered as much as he could eat. And Moses said to them, 'Let no one leave any of it till morning.' But they did not listen to Moses. Some left part of it till the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was angry with them. Morning by morning they gathered it, each as much as he could eat. But when the sun grew hot, it melted. Evening arrives, and here comes the quail. The Lord keeps his promise." I'm going to read a quote from, I can't pronounce the one guy's name, but anyway, it says, "These quail still fly in such mass denses that the Arab boys often kill two or three at a time by merely striking them with a stick as they fly. In the spring, quail also come northwards in immense masses from the interior of Africa and return in the autumn. They sometimes arrive so exhausted that they can be caught with their hands." Close quote. So the quail come in the evening, and in the morning bread from heaven appears on the ground like frost. For 5 days they are to gather a portion of manna to help meet their physical need for food in the wilderness. But on the sixth day, they're to gather a double portion. This is a test from the Lord. Each person was to gather an omer, about a half a gallon of manna per person. And no matter how much they gathered, some more, some less, it met their daily food needs and they had no lack. This daily portion of manna would meet all the nutrients their body needed along their journey to the promised land. But some failed the test and kept their leftovers until the next morning. And the leftover manna bred worms and stank. They were to trust the Lord for his daily provision and gather fresh manna morning by morning. There was also a time factor involved. They had to gather it before the sun grew hot and melted the daily provision of manna. Now, manna, though it could sustain them, was not the only thing they ate in their wilderness wanderings. In Deuteronomy chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, it says, "You shall purchase food from them with money that you may eat, and you shall buy water from them with money that you may drink. For the Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hands. He knows you're going through this great wilderness these 40 years. The Lord your God has been with you, and you have lacked nothing." Now, I just show this as a this slide here. So this is from a Billy Graham crusade in Seoul, South Korea, from 1973. And in that picture is like 1.1 million people. So at the end, I'll have another picture of him like standing in the pulpit and the view from that direction. That way, you kind of like a visual thing to see how Moses speaking to the crowd may have looked. Or the immense size. The size of Israel was basically twice that. So for the next 40 years, the Lord would faithfully feed the nation of Israel manna, bread from heaven. If there were 2 million people gathering manna for 40 years, scholars have estimated how much manna the Lord would have provided for them. Each day they would collect and eat about 9 million pounds of manna. Over the 40-year period, that would add up to approximately 66 million tons of manna. Every day, every single person would personally witness and consume a miracle, the manna, a sweet wafer that tasted like honey, coming from the hand of the Lord. And another miracle would occur every sixth day, when the double portion of the manna would not breed worms and stink. Why were they only to gather a day's portion for 5 days, and on the sixth day they were to gather a double portion? Verses 22 through 30. "On the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, 2 omers each. And when all the leaders of the congregation came and told Moses, he said to them, 'This is what the Lord has commanded. Tomorrow is a day of solemn rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake, and boil what you will boil, and all that is left over lay aside to be kept till the morning.' So they laid it aside till the morning, as Moses commanded them, and it did not stink. And there were no worms in it. Moses said, 'Eat it today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh, which is a Sabbath, there will be none.' On the seventh day, some of the people went out to gather, but they found none. And the Lord said to Moses, 'How long will you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? See, the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, on the sixth day, he gives you bread for 2 days. Remain each of you in his place. Let no one go out of his place on the seventh day.' So the people rested on the seventh day." This is the first place in the Bible the word Sabbath appears, though the principle is seen in Genesis 2 when the Lord rested after creation. After 430 years of slavery in Egypt, a land filled with continuous, brutal, hard labor, idols, and the idolatrous Egyptians, the people of Israel are given by the Lord a Sabbath, a holy day, to worship and remember the Lord, their God. It was a day of rest for both man and animals. Each Sabbath day, there would be no manna, but the manna they had gathered the day before would remain fresh to be consumed. Verses 31 through 36. Now the house of Israel called its name manna. It was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Moses said, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Let an omer of it be kept through your generations, so that they may see the bread with which I fed you in the wilderness, when I brought you out of the land of Egypt." And Moses said to Aaron, "Take a jar and put an omer of manna in it, and place it before the Lord to be kept throughout your generations." As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron placed it before the testimony to be kept. The people of Israel ate the manna 40 years till they came to a habitable land. They ate the manna till they came to the border of the land of Canaan. An omer is a tenth part of an ephah. So the nation of Israel calls the bread from heaven manna. The Lord tells Moses, keep a jar of manna for future generations to see as a reminder of the glory of the Lord and his miraculous provision for his people during their journey to the promised land. A jar of manna would be kept in the Ark of the Covenant of the testimony. So, what practical things can we learn from Exodus 16 for our daily life? So this is big idea number two. So what's the big idea for the practical portion of the message? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. Now these things happened to them as an example, but were written down for our instruction. Think about this. We are redeemed people, living in the wilderness, being led by the Holy Spirit to a future promised land. During our daily trek on earth, we too can go and gather a daily portion, each one of us, every day, as much as you can eat. Some are going to gather more, some less. And when we do that, we will have no lack. We should gather it morning by morning, and we will see the glory of the Lord. But we need to do it before the sun rises, the heat of our daily life, and the opportunity melts away. So let's break down that paragraph or phrase I just read, phrase by phrase. We are redeemed people. We were slaves of sin, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb of God. Christ's death upon the cross provided for us the redemption price to be bought back from the slave market of sin. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. Like Israel, we are in a wilderness. This world is a fallen world. It's governed by the prince of the power of the air. We are in a spiritual desert. The world we live in is a spiritual desert wasteland apart from our hope in Christ. Why do we come here each week? We come here to worship the living God, to remember the bread of life, the living water, the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, our mediator. We come to this building because, in a strange sense, it's our Elim. It's an oasis in the desert wilderness. It's a place of spiritual refreshment where we are fed the living bread from heaven and drink of the water of life. It's a place of rest, refuge, and comfort from the weary desert outside those doors. Psalm 119, the psalmist said, I am a sojourner on the earth. 1 Peter 2 says, Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh. Israel was led by the pillar of the cloud and the fire, which is a picture of the Holy Spirit. John 16:13 says, When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. They followed the cloud that directed their path, that directed the path of the nation of Israel for 40 years. It's a picture of being led by the Holy Spirit, following the path the Lord wants us to go down as we follow him and his leading. We too are on our own journey to a future promised land. We're on a journey. Our future home is with the Lord in heaven. We're looking forward to the day Christ will be ruling and reigning upon this earth. And we're looking forward even more to a glorious home in the new heaven and the new earth. So as redeemed people on this wilderness journey, what are we to do to strengthen and sustain us upon the way? Go. They had to leave their place of comfort, their bed and their tent, and go outside and gather their daily bread. If they stayed in bed under the tutelage of Pastor Pillow from Bedside Baptist, they would not eat manna that day. Bible says if anyone's not willing to work, let him not eat. What were they to do? They were to gather. What did they gather? Manna. Gathering manna took effort. The nation of Israel in the wilderness was to go outside and gather up manna, daily physical bread. As believers in Christ, we have been given the whole counsel of God in his scriptures. And we too should go and gather the living bread to sustain us. How much were they to gather? A day's portion. We too should gather a day's portion. Just as we eat physical food every day, we need to feed upon Christ, the bread of life, each and every day. And how long do we do this? Basically the rest of our lives. A quote from F.W. Grant says this, The manna was a daily provision for daily need. It could not be hoarded. If attempted, it bred worms and stank. So also, we cannot live upon yesterday's enjoyment of Christ. We must enjoy him today. Close quote. How often should we gather our manna? Every day. They gathered for 6 days as a test, but the principle here for us is to gather our daily bread, not weekly, but daily bread. How much more clear can it be? Each and every day we can open up God's word and feast upon the living bread and pray. Psalm 119 says, Open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from your law. What are we to gather? Manna. What is manna? Bread from heaven. Feed upon the living Christ. John chapter 6, verse 31 through 35 says this, Jesus said, Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus then said to them, Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives his life to the world. They said to him, Sir, give us this bread always. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. When we daily read the scriptures and feed upon the living bread of Christ, we are strengthened in our faith. Our souls are nourished. It provides the sustenance needed in our desert wilderness journey. Who's supposed to gather? Each one of you. It's our individual personal responsibility to gather a portion of God's word every day. If I'm a young person who is a believer in Jesus Christ, if I come here and take the bread and the cup during the Lord's Supper, if I've identified myself with Christ, with the Lord in believer's baptism, if I'm old enough to feed myself some food while mom is out running errands, you're old enough to be feeding yourself spiritually each and every day. We need to make it a daily habit of feeding ourselves God's word. How much should we eat? As much as you can. We're all at different growth stages. The kids at youth group eat dinner before they come to the meeting. Then it's snack time. And they eat like they're starving people. Like they didn't even eat. Like, do these people feed their kids at home? It's like crazy. How much is a person to eat on a daily basis? It says this, some gathered more, some gathered less. If you have a newborn baby like many here, or you're a young child, you may be gathering less. 1 Peter 2:2 says, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk that by it you may grow up to salvation. If you're preparing a message or leading a Bible study, you will consume much more living bread. Hebrews 5:14 says, but solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Most of our days are somewhere between milk and meat. I remember an older gentleman years ago, his name was Bob Irwin, many of you might know who he is. He told me this years ago, so I was probably saved less than 5 years. And if you know Bob Irwin, he was just kind of one of those, he'd come put his arm around you and he'd say, Bob, never leave your house without reading at least one verse of scripture. So a couple years later, my alarm went off late one day and I was running out the door and our garage was in the basement, ran down the steps, and as I'm running down the steps, I could hear his voice going, Bob, you always have time to read at least one verse of scripture. So I ran back up, and I opened my Bible on the shelf, and randomly opened my Bible up, and it said this, but Ruth said, for where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Well, the Lord set the hook on me that day about reading his word each and every day. Before heading out the door, you know, after that moment in a stairwell. Notice the result of the individuals daily gathering their physical manna. No matter how much they gathered, they had no lack. Think about it. Some gathered more, some gathered less, but they had no lack. Randy told me a story about 30 years ago about a psychology class he had in college. His conclusion was there's basically a Bible verse for every issue, psychological issue facing man today. When we daily consume the bread of life and feed on Christ, we will have no lack. Romans 11:33 says, oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. When should we feed on the living bread? It says, morning by morning they gathered their daily bread. Psalm 143 says, let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love. For I've put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I entrust my life. What are the results that can be seen when we feed upon Christ, the living bread? The Lord told Moses, in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord. We too can behold the glory of the Lord in the morning. Lamentations 3 says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 says, and we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. The transformation begins with beholding His glory. We behold His glory when we feed upon the manna of God, the living bread of Jesus Christ. John chapter 6, verse 57 and 58, Jesus said, as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Not the bread like the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. Do I want to behold the glory of the Lord? It begins with prayerfully, daily, feeding on the living Christ, the Word made flesh, the bread of life. Consuming the Word of God is my daily spiritual nourishment and our pathway to basking in the presence and glory of the Lord. As we've heard several times, in a couple weeks, we're going to pause the book of Exodus and begin Ephesians. You want to behold the glory of the Lord and our glorious position in Christ? Read Ephesians chapter 1 through 3. Read it every day for 30 days in a row, and you're going to see the glory of Christ. When we do, we will have no lack in our life because the living bread of Christ will strengthen, sustain, and nourish us to view all our trials through the hands of our loving Heavenly Father. When should we feed upon this living bread? Before the sun grows hot and it melts. Before the busyness of life distracts us and pulls us away from that personal quiet time with the Lord. As the old hymn says, I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. And the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. Alone in the garden, feeding upon Christ, beholding His glory, consuming our spiritual nutrients needed for the day. It's so easy to be like Martha and get busy with the day and neglect being like Mary and sit at the feet of Jesus. So how did this work for me personally? So I remember when I first read Exodus 16 many years ago, I thought, if I'm going to read God's word before I head out the door each morning, before driving to work, I guess I'm going to have to get up about a half hour early every day for the rest of my career. And for me personally, as soon as I pulled out of my driveway and had to deal with morning rush hour traffic on I-270 for over 30 years, I needed that time feeding on the living Christ before heading out the door. So now comes the humorous part of the message, so you can all laugh at me later. My kids would always laugh at me and make fun of me growing up because of my personal setup for my morning Bible reading. It was based on three things, apart from the scriptures. Number one was the scripture. But Number one, we used to get call-outs for work in the middle of the night. So the phone rings at 2 a.m. and we had to be there in 1 hour. And it's a 30-minute drive. So that didn't give you a lot of time to whatever. Grab your stuff and head out the door. Also, when I got called in, I had no idea where I was going. So it's like, just come in. You're going to do this. Where's it at? They wouldn't tell us. It could be 3 or 4 hours away. So it's like you had to be prepared. It also had to do with this billboard that I seen years ago. And it just said, when seconds count, and then it was like an ad for a hospital, count on this hospital. And the other one is this firehouse next door. So when you drive by the firehouse, what do you see when the doors are open? You see the fire truck there with its door open. There's boots on the ground and a jacket hanging right there with an open fire truck door. As soon as the bell rings and those firemen put on their jacket, and those firemen, they put on the jacket while they're stepping into the boots, they climb in the truck and they're off in seconds because seconds count. So basically, I would lay everything out on my kitchen table the night before, you know, everything, literally everything. Bible opened, you know, bowl of cereal, bowl, spoon. You know, I didn't pour the cereal or anything, but anyway. That's what worked for me because I had a short time frame to get out the door sometimes, but I wanted to read before I went out the door, even if it was just a few verses. Everyone's plan and preparation will be different. As the saying goes, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. So when I first got trained on my job, it was driving a tractor trailer, and there were literally like 50 or 100 things you had to check on the truck and the trailer and inspect it before you pulled out of the yard. And the guy who trained me was a Christian guy. And he said, after we got done, he showed me how he did it. And he said, this is how I do it. You have to develop a plan that works for you. And that's basically what I'm saying right here. Find a daily Bible study method and reading plan in the morning that works for you and stick with it. I mean, it's my daily personal conviction. The God of the universe gave us life at a time when we have multiple copies of the scriptures in our own language. We all have the ability to read and study his word with commentaries on literally every verse of the Bible. His word is the living bread for my soul, and I need its daily nourishment. To begin my day alone with the Lord, gathering my daily portion of manna, the bread from heaven, to sustain me. I consume as much as I can eat, and when I do, I know I'm a lot less grumbly and complaining type of person. I'm going to close with this verse right here. Deuteronomy 8:3. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for this practical example from your word, the manna that you rained down from heaven to feed and sustain the nation of Israel in their wilderness journey for 40 years. Thank you that that manna points us to the Lord Jesus Christ, who came down from heaven and gave his life for us. Lord, we thank you that we have the living word of God, that we can feed upon it, and it can nourish us and heal us spiritually. And we need to feed on it each and every day and seek you and your direction for our lives in it. We thank you for this time and just pray your blessing and on our fellowship afterwards. In Jesus' name, amen.